dead. Dead. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Craft Beer is Dead Christmas Edition. I am one of your hosts, Bree, the Pint-Sized Traveler, accompanied by...
I'm a Chris. Sorry, everything has been fucking holiday music.
It's everywhere. Terrible. I hate Christmas music.
You know, I think usually I do, because usually they started at like... I don't know,
the
Halloween?
First. Yeah.
Yeah, like November 1st. They don't even give Thanksgiving the actual holiday anymore. But for this year, I'm like, fuck it, man. Everything else has been so shitty. Let's all just pretend everything's great for like a couple weeks.
I feel like I could do that visually with decorating and stuff like that. I still don't need to hear the Christmas music. I don't need it.
But have you explored? Because, like, we live in a time and age now to where it's not
just... Well, you do a good job. You found the rock Christmas music.
There's rock.
So that was actually a whole new world for me. I did dig that.
There's rap Christmas. There's metal Christmas. There's dubstep Christmas.
Possibly dubstep Christmas.
I mean, if you want to, like, pretend like you're riding with Santa in his sleigh fighting laser raptors... That's what you need in the
with
background.
With the tab on your tongue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Exactly. You're actually just sitting on the couch high as balls, but...
So we are calling this Christmas edition because we're going to cover some more spookies. Chris has some Krampus?
So,
is that what we're doing?
I mean, we started it with the idea of doing Krampus. I can pull up a quick Krampus. I did not have a Krampus.
So it was your idea to do Krampus, and then you didn't Krampus.
Do you have one? Like an actual Krampus one?
Well, I told you the one that I... No, I don't. I'll say no.
Let's just put it this way. This is a bonus episode, guys. So the fact that it's falling apart already, just whatever. We don't care. It is what it is. Happy holidays. But...
We just tell each other, pick a story and come in and record. So
let's be honest, though. Like if... Okay, so we're looking through a bunch of creepypastas and shit. And if you're not familiar with that is, it's literally just people on the internet writing scary stories for the sake of it.
And poems and stuff too. Yeah. Like there's like creative writing that's just spooky shit. So it is pretty cool.
Some of them are dope. And then no offense to anybody that does that. Some of them are garbage and there's a lot more garbage than there is ones that are dope. But with that being said, like if you find a good one, it's literally like if you were a kid and you used to read scary stories to tell in the dark kind of thing. Oh, they're so fun.
And did you watch that documentary on the guy who made those?
No.
No, it is so fantastic. Like he got so much shit for basically his entire life and then he died and then he just kept fighting the point that children can handle scarier stories and stuff and that prepares them for the real world you're not, you know, just... keeping them in a little bubble. So it's actually really interesting. So if you give it a Google search, you could probably find it pretty quick.
On that same vein, I still remember walking by Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark in the school library like 20 times before even growing the balls just to pick it up and be like, okay, what is it?
Well, it was taken out of a lot of schools. Like it caused a big, huge controversy that a lot of people don't know about because it's so popular now and no one really forgets that it was basically like being censored in the schools. So
people can get the
play interesting.
Toodles a tug. Of some sort. No, so we found these bonus ones. We originally wanted to do Krampus stuff, but spoiler alert: every Krampus story is literally like, "Oh, I saw Krampus."
Yeah, they're difficult.
I'm in a bag. Oh no! That's every story. So if that scared you, you're welcome. But we did find some other cool ones that are just Christmas related in general.
Oh, man. And they are real stories. So, well mine is. Yours isn't.
Mine are all fucking fake, but they're great.
Yeah. Well, we have a real story that'll give you the heebie-jeebies, and then the other ones are just very well written. So, should we open a beer before getting creepy?
What'd you bring us?
So, I butchered the name of this, and I'm happy Chris knew what the hell it was. So, how did you even say it?
Okay. Well, so we have Feste Vice, which is a funny little clever play on words. So it's obviously like some sort of tart Berliner, some sort of something. Yeah. I'm actually looking at it right now. Tangy cranberry meets spicy ginger, making the holidays warm and bright. So it's a cool one. It's basically just kind of a holiday themed like Berliner Weiss kind of thing.
And it's from Crane Brewing.
Crane Brewing out of Missouri.
Missouri.
Missouri. And yeah, it looks like they do a lot of really cool, like, specialty sour kind of things throughout the year. Their year-round stuff, though, is going to be Trailsmith, which is a... Can't find the style on it, but that's their core one. I feel terrible because, like, Farmhouse Saison. I apologize.
Ooh, yum.
They also have a Farmhouse IPA, and they have a tea vice, which actually sounds pretty dope. Old German style vice. Thank you.
Yep.
With berry rooibos tea, which I love rooibos. If you haven't had it, put it in your face. It's great.
I don't think I have, but. I think I have had one or two beers from these guys just from Tabor boxes and stuff. So that's also how you can locate them if you don't see them in your bottle shops.
Word. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink.
Mm. Wow. Very tart. I love the ginger on it.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah, I'm happy they put ginger in it.
It's really well attenuated, too, so it's not like that big, sticky kind of desserty thing that's going on these days.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I don't hate it.
And this was in my purse for a couple hours, so it didn't stay very cold. So that's my apologies on that. But I think you get a lot more of the ginger now that probably because it's lukewarm.
Yeah, I mean, it actually says serve. Actually, it doesn't. This is one of the only websites I've seen that says serve at this temperature. We are not doing that. And we apologize, but it's still really good this way. So imagine
yeah, it is. Exactly.
Just how good it is if it's in a nice cold can.
Cold can.
All right. So kicking shit off. You want to go first? Because yours sounded pretty good. I mean, I've got three. Yeah. One of them is really short.
Yeah. I'll get this out and then I'm just excited to hear your little tall tale spookies, to be honest.
Well, how many do you have?
Oh, it's just one, and it's about this crazy asshole. So basically, it's the Santa Claus killer.
All right, I'll tell you what. Let's switch it off real quick. Why don't I take it with a fake one? We'll have you do one in the middle, so that way we kind of go back and forth a little bit.
It's pretty short, so yeah, okay. If you think that'll work.
Yeah, I'll start off with a fake one real quick, and then we'll have yours as the meat.
The meat.
The meat, and I'll provide some potatoes.
With some scorched meat. You'll get that later. No.
Oh, gross. Is that foreshadowing? Because that sounds awful. All right. Now, again, keep these in mind. I did not write this. This was posted by Manon Lysett. I found this on Reddit for the creepypasta on there. A spy cam in my Christmas tree. Bum, bum, bum. Last year, on Boxing Day, I found a really cool ornament in a clearance box. It had a built-in camera to record a unique perspective on your holiday celebrations. I grabbed the last one from the store's dusty shelf and brought it home for less than $10. I forgot about it until my wife, the two daughters, and I decorated the house earlier this month. I told my daughters about the camera, and she'd said we'd secretly catch Santa in the act. I had an old costume in the attic and intended to deliver some gifts in full view on the camera on Christmas night. My girls were overjoyed and went back and forth, trying to find the best place to put the ornament on the tree. They had no idea that Daddy repositioned it later, so it could actually catch the living room in a good angle. In the nights leading up to Christmas, I turned the camera on to make sure everything was working properly. In the morning, I previewed the footage just long enough to confirm the thing was working. Satisfied, I inserted the micro SD card in the back of the ornament and slipped in a new battery in anticipation for the big night. Daddy didn't want to disappoint his little girls with a failed recording. We enjoyed Christmas Eve as a family, playing board games and eating more junk food than there was room for in our stomachs. Like we do every year, we let our daughters open one gift from Mommy and Daddy before going to bed. The girls, still riding their sugar high, could be heard giggling from their bedrooms from all the way up the stairs. From time to time, my wife and I could hear one of them shush each other, claiming she'd heard hooves on the roof or bells jingling. Eventually, our kiddos dozed off. My wife kissed me on the cheek and headed to bed while I turned off all the lights. I retrieved the costume and tiptoed into the living room, getting ready for my big feature film debut. I did everything you would expect Santa to do. I ate most of the cookies, I drank the milk, I pepped my large stomach and said, ho, 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 ho. I dropped a few presents by the fireplace, all in full view of the camera. Pretty good acting job, if I do say so myself. On Christmas morning, the girls came running into our bedroom to wake us up. They excitedly insisted that we watch the video before opening the present. I transferred the footage to my laptop, forwarded to where Santa showed up, and pressed play. The girls squealed with delight and jumped in front of the screen, frantically waving at Santa while obscuring the video from my view. It brought me so much joy to see how happy the girls were. I was too lazy to stop the video, so it continued to play in the background while we unwrapped our gifts. I spotted a box I had not seen the night before. It was small and wrapped in blue foil paper that I didn't recognize. My name was on it, but my wife seemed just as surprised as I was to see it there. Noticing my confusion, my youngest daughter spoke. "Daddy, that's got to be from Mr. Elf," she said, her voice cheerful and bright. I was ready to dismiss her elf comment as just another weird thing kids say, but my wife wasn't so quick to ignore it. "Honey, what elf?" she asked. My daughter pointed to the laptop by then. The video had ended, and all that was left on the screen was the preview of the first frame. "The one that came in with Santa," she answered. Panic struck me like a bird in a jet propeller.
Jesus.
I knew my wife didn't dress up as an elf, and I scanned the video, clicking forward and back until I saw what my daughter had seen. There was someone in the living room. He walked into the corner after I had turned the lights off. He stood there, watching me parading around as Santa. The video completely quiet after that. It was as though the camera failed to record a single sound. The strange, tall man in an elf costume stood perfectly still for over an hour, watching the camera from a distance. After a while, he walked over to the plate of cookies and bit the head off a gingerbreadman. I glanced at the plate and saw his teeth marks on the decapitated cookie. The man then quietly approached the Christmas tree. I thought the audio wasn't working, but he reached toward the tree. I began to hear his slow, steady breaths. He reached toward the ornament, and the video stopped. In a terrified frenzy, I grabbed the blue box he'd left behind. I ripped the bow off and tossed the frilly thing away. I frantically removed the wrapping paper, opened the box, and looked inside. There, on a bed of bubble wrap, was the battery I'd put in the camera the night before. My wife took the ornament, opened the back. The battery was missing. I don't know what scares me more. The camera, or what the camera caught, or what the elf might have done after he turned off the camera. Bum, 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 bum.
That was fun.
I like that one a lot, and it's terrifying, but also so smart to have, like, little cameras in the Christmas tree. It's, like, scary and smart at the same time.
Yeah, that's pretty much how Amazon works now. They just, like, if you buy a tree from Amazon, there is a camera in it. And that's how they know to advertise towards you. Also, I have a fun little thing in my head where that was just Will Ferrell.
Oh my God. It's like what Bill Murray does, only it's Elf and Will Ferrell.
Pretty much. By the way, since we're doing like a whole Christmassy one, have you watched a Bill Murray Christmas yet?
No, I don't think so.
If you have Netflix, go watch it.
It's good.
About like an hour and 20 minutes long. It's just solid. It's one of those, yeah. Like, it's a classic Bill Murray, just kind of weirdly puts you into whatever spirit he's trying to get you in.
Yeah.
And
he could be the next cult leader, and they'd probably follow.
Yeah, absolutely. He is. I think it's called Chive. But legit, like, the cast on it alone is just funny and worth watching, so.
Deal.
Yep. Do it. Definitely. All right. So that was my fake shit. Let's get to some real shit.
Don't you kind of, in a really fucked up way, kind of wish that was a real story? Because it's, like, good. It's super good. And you're, like, if you just told me it was real, like, I'd believe you for sure.
That's spooky as fuck, though, right? Could you imagine, like, actually, I mean, there's a good possibility that could happen to you at some point in your life.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Like, maybe even, what are we, we're going to drop this for Christmas Eve or Christmas? What do you
want
to do?
You know, whatever you want, Chris.
All right. Well, that's going to go on Kwanzaa.
Speaking of,
what?
No, that was not a segue.
Segue.
All right. So I will not be telling this in any fun voices, and you won't be able to tell that this is a story with delight.
Well, I'm excited already.
All right. So Santa Claus Killer. This happened December 24th, 2008. In Covina, a city in the suburbs of Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
So 9 people were killed, either by gunshot wounds or technically arson inside the house. So this all happened on the Christmas Eve party that was being held there. The perpetrator, 45-year-old Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, who entered the house wearing a Santa suit, died from self-inflicted gunshots to the head at his brother's residence in the early hours of the morning after the attack. So, you know.
He was dressed as Santa.
He was dressed as Santa and, yeah, wait for it.
That is metal as hell.
So authorities cited marital problems as a possible motive for the violence. Reports indicated that Pardo's divorce had been finalized on December 18th, 1 week before the massacre. Three people, including Pardo's ex-wife, his former in-laws, were initially declared missing pending identification of their bodies.
Yeesh.
And they were in their own house. So think about that.
Yeah.
So at approximately 11:30, Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, dressed in a Santa Claus suit, knocked on the door of his former in-law's house, occupied by about 25 people, with a gift wrap package containing a homemade flamethrower on a trolley, two 9mm. He also had two additional 9mm in his pocket.
What the fuck, man?
Moments after the door opened, Pardo pulled out the two handguns and immediately shot his 8-year-old niece, Katrina, in the face. So the daughter of Leticia, a very then Polish last name that I can't pronounce, so I won't try. A sister of Sylvia Pardo, so his ex-wife.
Okay.
As she ran at him to greet him, just thinking uncle is coming to town, and he just point blank now, shoots her in the face.
That is the definition of a record scratch stop moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So imagine that's how the party then went downhill very abruptly. He
brought a casserole.
Yeah. In one hand, he had a casserole. In the other hand, a 9mm. He then fired at fleeing partygoers. Police speculate that Pardo may have stood over and pointedly executed some of the victims using the other handguns. After the shootings, Pardo unwrapped the package containing a homemade flamethrower and used it to spray racing fuel gasoline to set the home ablaze.
Damn.
9 people died from either gunfire or flames, and 3 others were wounded. I'll try to pronounce the name. Yuzef Polski was shot in the face with severe but non-life-threatening injuries. A 16-year-old girl shot and wounded in the back. A 20-year-old woman who suffered a broken ankle jumping out of a second-floor window.
Damn.
That was one survivor who called the authorities during the attack after escaping to a neighbor's house. So the resulting fire soared approximately 50 feet and took 80 firefighters an hour and a half to extinguish. So that's a big-ass flame.
Fuck.
Due to the intensity of the fire, identification of the victims was done with dental and medical records. So aftermath, after the attack, Bardo put on his street clothes and drove his Dodge Caliber rental car to his brother's house about 30 miles away from the crime scene, where he later was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His brother was not present in the home of Pardo's death. It was initially believed that Pardo intended to flee to Canada by plane, since he had bought an airline ticket to a flight on Air Canada. However, it was subsequently discovered that the flight itinerary on Northwest Airlines was from Los Angeles to Malone, Illinois, with a layover in Minnesota. Pardo had called days before to tell a high school friend that he was planning to visit, but investigations were unsure if he actually intended to visit off that flight. Or just to fool investigators.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of tricky. We'll skip ahead. So suffering from severe third-degree burns, his arms, the Santa suit was actually pretty much adhesed to his body too. So he took it off, but still had like huge parts of the suit still like burnt onto him.
He has become
so that's
Santa.
How they found him. Yeah. So he decided to go against the initial plan. Police found about $17,000 in cash, cling wrapped to his legs inside of a girdle. His rental car, parked on one block from his brother's house, had been rigged with remnants of his Santa suit that would detonate the car with black powder if removed.
Damn.
Yeah. So if you took the costume out of the car would blow up.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Holy
like,
shitballs,
just the
right?
level of detail that some of these people have.
So much detail. And it's not like you can't tell who this was or who did it. You know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, even then.
Like, he'd be the first suspect. And then now he's in Canada. Like, why go through all the trouble to get rid of this evidence. Like, yeah. You didn't want them to know you were dressed up as Santa.
But
just
also,
that fucked up.
Like, even if you go to Canada, I'm pretty sure they'll be like, hey, man, we got to, like, give you back.
You're going to go back now.
Yeah. Not exactly asshole. Coming in with a lot of good references. Yeah. So
references. So basically, summing it up, they found a just messload of ammo, shitload of 13 round capacity handguns and stuff, which, I mean, that's not anything too crazy, but just a shitload of ammo, bomb squad. The whole place had to be pretty much shut down for a couple days, and they recovered 5 empty boxes full of more handguns and shotguns, and yeah, so who knows?
Ready.
Yeah, I don't know why he would have all that and not bring it to the scene, but yeah, so anyway,
I mean, like, every time I've ever heard stories about these, like, kind of grandiose scale, kind of rampage things, like, they a lot of them will plan for something far bigger, but because of a series of events, they feel like they have to, like, alter the plan last minute, which sometimes is better because it's less people and they're not as likely to pull off the big stunt.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worse because they do.
I mean, and $10,000 is a lot of money, but pretty much that's all that he had to pay his ex-wife. Like, it wasn't, you know, like $10,000 a month or,
yeah,
you know, it, like, because you hear some alimony cases and it's insane. Like, I even,
yeah,
as, you know, a few moms, still like, what the fuck? Like, how is this, like, part of the system where a guy, just because he was married to a wife, has to pay $100,000 a year because she's grown accustomed to this type of lifestyle?
I'm sorry. That's kind of where I'm getting at with that.
It's, like, insane.
If you were accustomed to the lifestyle, guess what? You don't have that lifestyle anymore.
You don't.
Because you guys both decided to separate.
Seriously.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But again, that's just me speaking out of my ass.
I know. And there's so many millions of cases. And if there's violence involved, yeah, of course, you know, yeah, you should, you know, go for me out of that. But whatever. So basically, that's all it was over, and that she also got the family dog. So I think that's what set him the fuck over was.
I'd say that's enough to do that.
Oh my God.
For sure. I mean, I saw John Wick, and just like the one, like, what do you do? Like, kill like 90 people for one dog?
It was a puppy.
Yeah.
Really,
I mean,
it was given, you know, sentimental value, and it was, yeah, a puppy. So I understand.
No. I mean, I would have stopped after one, but whatever.
Yeah, so anywho, I thought that was a pretty interesting story. I thought you would enjoy the flamethrower, to be honest. That's kind of what brought me to it.
It's terrible. It is really bad, but it's kind of crazy. That was like, you know what I'm going to do? Well, I got all this ammo. I got all these guns. It's not enough, you know? It really needs some shock and awe.
And then he made it himself and wrapped it. He wrapped it.
Yeah, he watched too many fucking monster, like, movies, like, right before this thing. He was just like, say hello to Santa. And
say hello to Santa.
That's the name of the episode. Say hello to Santa. All right, shit. That's pretty fucking gnarly, man. I won't be opening the doors for any Santas, even if I know them.
I know. I think that should have been the case for a long time now.
Also, like, you know, thinking about it now, too, if you just have a family member show up unannounced, dressed as Santa, something's off.
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna be like, hey, make sure you plan for it. Keep the cameras out. It's going to be great. Play, like, White Christmas in the background. Have some eggnog ready.
Exactly.
Save one for the kids, though. But if they just show up with, like, a big box and it smells like racing fuel, problems ahead.
That's the problem for sure. But I could also see Doug doing that entire thing, but just coming with some, like, really loud, really messy, really obnoxious toys. And then just being like, all right, Merry Christmas. And then leaving.
No, he would, it would be much more of, like, an epic Nerf battle. And he's again, broken the pack that we have, where there shouldn't be any batteries involved. But, hey, you know, whatever. Once a Marine,
not,
right?
Not the first time you guys have broken that pact, right?
He's the only one. I mean, I might have modified some springs in the guns. Yeah, that's
seriously
fine.
Seriously, how can you argue that he had a battery operated when you modified? You went as far to buy special coils to shoot, and it hurts. Like,
yes,
that gun hurts just as much as the battery operated one.
That, exactly. I need to, like...
So you did it first.
No.
Yes.
I'm operating within the actual treaty guidelines.
But you did it first. You made the gun hurt first.
Yeah, but it's not my fault I use superior technology and have to revert down to like the terrible things we agreed weren't. You know what? I'm not even going to get into this with you. All right? You're Sweden. You don't pick sides anyway. You just point a gun and shoot, okay?
Touche.
Right. Okay, I got one here. It's, I hear Santa's reindeer outside. Ding, 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 ding.
You have...
Luckily, I'm wearing this silly, stupid fucking hat for just an occasion. Yay! Mommy, what are you doing? I'm brining the turkey. What's brining? Well, I soaked the turkey in salt water and... Why? Hey, I said, tightening the strings on my apron. Why don't you go play with the Starman toy I got you? I don't want to play with it anymore. Kids these days lose interest in a new toy in an hour. Am I right? Want to watch Mommy take the Christmas cookies? Or take out the Christmas cookies? I pulled the tray out of the oven. Heat nipped my fingers. The cookie Jackson made was burned to the edges and terribly misshapen. Your cookie turned out great, see? Can I eat it now? He asked, his grimy little hands shooting for it.
Grimy?
Have you ever seen a kid? They're gross. Except for your kids. They're great. Whoever's listening to this. Can I eat it now? He asked, his grimy little hands shooting for it. I thought it was for Santa. Well, it was, but I'm hungry. And even if everyone else is feeding Santa cookies, he doesn't really need mine, right? Smart kid. I led him into the dining room with a cookie and a tall glass of milk. Here you go, honey. He sat down. I glanced out the window. Christmas lights from the house across the street twinkled back in the falling dusk. I patted him on the shoulder and began walking away. Mommy! Ugh, what now? Yes, Jackson? I hear jingling. Of Santa's reindeer. That's nice. I said... Probably just the old man next door walking his corgi. But whatever, I'm not going to rain on this parade. I'm going to listen to the reindeer. Thank God, finally something to keep him busy. I returned to the kitchen and frowned at the turkey. It looked so pale and slimy. My mother would be here tomorrow, and she was so particular about it. Don't overcook it. It'll be too dry. And don't put too much salt. Nobody likes a salty turkey. And don't burn it. Oh my goodness, don't burn it. Her voice echoed in my ear. Dave made such a perfect turkey, or perfect wonderful turkey last year. The way he seasoned it, it was exquisite. Yeah, well, then I caught Dave seasoning someone else's turkey, so to speak. Mommy, I hear them, he shouted. That's great, I called back. Dave's attempts to reconcile were, to say the least, lacking. Sometimes he'd leave me a voicemail, just saying, I love you, and then hanging up. Other times he'd text me a photo of his hand, wearing the wedding ring. No caption, nothing else in the picture, just his hand. And the ring was so stupid looking anyway, silver encrusted with a ton of tiny garnets, because red is the color of love. Red is also the color I saw when I found them Mommy! I hear them jingling. And footsteps. That's great, honey. Listen, listen. I sighed and rinsed the slime off my hands. Okay, okay, Jackson, I'm coming, I said, stepping into the dining room. I listened. I froze. My heart began to pound. Santa's here, see? He squealed. It wasn't the jingling of bells or a leash. It was the jingling of keys as someone tried the lock. I grabbed Jackson's arm, dragged him out into the dining room. Mommy, what are you doing? We're going to sit here and wait for Santa to come down the chimney, see? I asked, or I said, my voice quivering. I eyed the back door. Could we make a run for it? He's on the roof, Jackson squealed, grinning. I hugged Jackson, holding him as close as I could. I screamed. Jackson broke free from my arms and ran towards the chimney. And then I saw it. A small box wrapped in black paper had fallen through the fireplace. Jackson, no! It was too late. He picked it up, grinning, and then he frowned. It's not mine, he shoved it into my lap. It's for you, Mommy. Handshaking, I picked it up, and the note read, You changed the locks. My heart pounding, I lifted the box, or lifted the lid off the box, a ring on a severed finger, encrusted with thousands of tiny garnets.
So it's his finger?
I mean, I guess. Unless he got some weird finger. So, I mean, I didn't write
so
it.
So who killed him?
I don't think he killed him. I think he's just gone all fucking Van Gogh.
He cut his own finger off?
Is that
where you're... I know, I'm just trying to process because it... Was just right at the end. It made you go, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And fantastic storytelling.
Thank you.
A plus for effort. I appreciate
fun.
That.
Thanks, Santa.
You're my buddy.
I guess he's gotten all creepy fucking
Van
Gogh.
He did that. He cut his finger off.
Yeah.
And was like, wow.
Yeah, gross.
That was a good one.
I thought it was fun.
I think both of those could definitely become horror movies. Both of the ones that you read.
That's the thing, man. A lot of these are fun.
And if a director was smart, if they were just, you know, feeling not so creative, go over there, read a couple of them, guarantee you're going to get some inspiration.
Oh, for sure. And I'll tell you what, if you're listening and it's something you find fun, we can always just kind of like do an episode once a month or something with just like some good ones.
Yeah.
As long as the people writing them are cool with us, like totally stealing their shit.
which we'll cite.
Exactly. So yeah, that was that one.
I like that.
It was pretty fun.
That was a good one.
I'm just glad I had these on me.
I know.
I'm going to do that a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
All right. I have one more.
People love that.
This was posted on Reddit by PMHW. That was the username. This was from 2 years ago. It's short. And I'm not going to lie. It's fucking awful.
This is how you wanted to close it. He wouldn't tell me anything else, but he's like, oh, I got one to close.
Christmas.
Do I need to open another one for this?
I mean, it's really short, but you might want to drink after this. I woke up on Christmas morning. I watched the snow cover the grassy ground, glistening. I ran downstairs to the glowing tree. I can see that the sweet sugar cookies we left for Santa were eaten. I woke my parents to tell them to come downstairs, and I'll never forget my last Christmas. I got down on the rough hardwood floor. I grabbed a present and shook it. It had a rancid, rotting smell. As I opened it, I heard my mother scream in terror as my father forgot to poke holes. That's it.
Oh my fucking God, Chris!
It says what's in the box. I didn't even say that. It's super sad. Ugh. But I think you guys can all imagine, it wasn't supposed to be dead. Let's put it that way.
Oh my God.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Yay.
Oh man, Merry Christmas to all.
And to all some poked holes.
So please, please everyone, if you're planning on getting anyone some animals this holiday season, please don't be that guy.
I think we've learned a lot.
I have.
Yeah. So, one.
Mostly about you, but.
Yep. Don't put cameras in your tree or Will Ferrell will find you.
Or put cameras in your tree or you won't know that Will Ferrell found you.
He probably wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for the fucking camera in the first place. I don't know. Okay. We'll call him. We know him. Yeah. We're getting him on the episode next week.
Tune in.
Yeah. Phil Werrell? Who are you?
Phil Werrell.
So we learned that. We learned that making flamethrowers probably isn't that hard.
It can't be if that guy pulled it off. Or I think he was an engineer that got fired like right before that happened.
Aren't we all an engineer, like of our own happiness?
Evidently.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they are.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What else? We learned how to not make turkey. and then we also learned to poke holes. So I'm proud of us.
I am too.
Yeah.
And that was a good beer while we listened and learned. And wish all of you a very merry, jolly, happy Christmas.
Yeah. No, but seriously, I hope you guys are all having a good one. I know this year's been fucking weird.
Yeah.
Spend time with people you can. If you can't, find ways to do it creatively. Don't
Definitely.
Be a dick. Everyone out there is going through shit. So just don't forget that. Yeah, that's all I got. Anything we need to plug?
No, I don't think so. Not this
cool.
time.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a bonus episode. We'll
it
save
is.
You from all the ads and stuff like that.
Deal.
So I don't even have a funny toodles thing lined up.
That's not what you hang on the tree. Oh, that's tinsel. Dead.